share the same love that you share with of running.
Oh, it sounds really, really good. It's one thing for me, running wasn't one of my favorites. We ran a lot to basically get in shape and lose weight in wrestling, so it's it wasn't always a fun, positive experience. But what else, with finding partners to help guide, so there's other non-sightseeing runners that need people, you know, throughout the country at times. We do have a good running program in our area here. The Lacaparo, Dawson Boyd, track and field, and cross country do very well. So there's a lot of runners. We have a former Olympian from Dawson Boyd, Carrie Tullison. So
it
is a strong running area. So there could be some former graduates that would be interested in, you know, doing those types of things.
Yeah, for sure. I think if you're in the Minnesota, in the Twin Cities area, you can, we have a group that's starting up in May, an Achilles Minnesota chapter, and there are runners here, visually impaired runners, who could use guides anytime, at all paces. And you can also visit, let's see, one way to reach us in the Twin Cities would be to email twincitiesmn@achillesinternational.org. And we can share some of those links, too, with Paula and with everyone, so that can be on the website, hopefully, after the show. But you can also register to be a guide runner. There's a national database that's sponsored by United in Stride. So if you just Google United in Stride, it'll take you to that database. And anyone can register, both as a guide runner or if you are a runner with a visual impairment, you can register on that website. And that way, whenever you travel anywhere, sighted guides or visually impaired runners can look up on that database who's around, who might be interested, and then they can reach out to each other directly via the website.
Okay. If you're just tuning into the Coach's Show here, we're visiting with a Dr. Yvonne Mascara-Schmidt. Dr. Yvonne will be at the Madison VFW Monday, April 15th for a fundraiser for the Lacaparo Valley Girls Golf Team. We appreciate you being on the show here, Doctor. Talk a little. I understand you're a world record holder, too, in 5,000 meters?
Yeah. I'm actually still hold the world record for fully blind women in the 5,000 meters, in the 3,000 meters as well, and then in the 60K distance. And then in the American records, I have the record for the 1,500. So, you know, records come and they're meant to be broken, and, you know, I'm hopeful that other visually impaired children can get out and experience the sense of camaraderie and community that can come from sport. That's what happened to me. I've met some wonderful friends who, you know, started out as guide runners and then have become lifelong friends. And that's really what sport is about. It's about uniting us all together, regardless of our political backgrounds, of our religion, you know, beliefs. Everyone together, because it's a testament to the human spirit whenever we're out there. You know, whether you're a walker, a cyclist, a golfer, right, we all do these sports seeking to improve ourselves, but also seeking just for a sense of community and belonging. And I think that's what makes sport so incredible and so beneficial for everyone who can experience it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talk a little bit about your private practice that you have. Now, you're totally blind, you said, but you're an acupuncture doctor.
How does
that work?
Well, yes, so, you know, acupuncture has a long-standing tradition. Of course, it goes back more than 3,000 years ago in China as a form of medicine and just as a form of holistically living life, right? Because acupuncture in Chinese medicine looks at the whole person, not just what your particular symptoms are. And so it really works on your mind, body, and spirit connection. And, you know, it started with some blind acupuncturists, actually, in Japan. And, you know, so I'm not the first blind acupuncturist ever. But I certainly stand on the shoulders of other giants. And what makes it interesting is that, you know, a lot of it is, you know, learning through palpation for me, because I can't see, you know, what measurements are or how long needles are. And we do use needles of varying lengths, right? Anywhere from half an inch to 6, 7, 8 inches. It just depends what we're working on and where we're working on the body. And so, but that required a lot of adjustment, a lot of problem solving, and a lot of trial and error with Northwestern Health Sciences University, where I got my doctorate degree, because I was their first blind student that they had ever had. So, you know, a lot of it was working together, having extra time, hands-on time, you know, to learn needling techniques, to adapt to how to find specific acupuncture points when people are usually accustomed to finding them visually.
Well, kind of running out of time here, Doctor, but I really appreciate you coming on the radio with us this morning. We're really looking forward to hearing you speak at the Madison VFW on Monday the 15th. So,
you so much. I'm looking forward to people coming out and just experiencing community and the feeling of positivity that comes through sport, and how we can support each other and support the girls. And if you're in the Twin Cities, look us up. My practice is Practical and Creative. And you can also look us up for the Achilles Minnesota chapter if you want to get some running with us.
Oh, okay. The website, that website again, what was that?
So my private practice is practicalandcreative.com, and the running website is achillesinternational.org. And then you can just look for the Minnesota chapter.
Okay. All right. Real good. Well, thank you again. Can't wait to hear you speak to the girls or to the Fenny State Champions, you know, Doctor.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. And one more year, we got to do it.
There you go. Right, Kip?
That's right.
Put a little more pressure on Kip.
No pressure, just fun.
Yep, fun. That's right.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Yvonne Mascara-Schmidt. And once again, she'll be speaking at the Madison VFW Monday, April 15th. It's a fundraiser for the golf team. 6 o'clock start for a steak supper. $20 or free will tax deductible donation there. So, and all the proceeds go to the Lockerbie Valley Girls Golf Program. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
A one, a two, a one, two, three.
We are the Looney Lutherans.
The Dawson Boyd Arts Association invites you to an evening of great conversation, food, and laughs on Saturday, April 6th, when the Looney Lutherans appear at Memorial Auditorium. They're a trio of wacky gals who will share their wisdom with music and comedy. The show starts at 7 p.m. Tickets are $20 for adults, $5 for students. Available online at DawsonBoydArtsPresents.org, at the door, or call the box office at 320-312-2311. Prior to the show, you can enjoy a special church basement supper at Grace Lutheran Church across the street from the school, $15 per plate for a tater tot hot dish meal with all the trimmings. For meal reservations, call the box office at 320-312-2311. Leave a message. Don't miss this evening with the Looney Lutherans, Saturday, April 6th in Dawson. Event sponsors Dick Berglund, Kluver Law and Mediation Center, and Subway, Gary and Cindy Hendricks.
Now let's start the show. Amen.
QP, Madison Dawson, time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
There, maybe more. I'm Paul Stevens, Fox News. New York and New Jersey still feeling aftershocks following a Friday earthquake.
We can expect more shake, rattle, and roll here. And tremors are continuing to rock the region after Friday morning's 4.8 magnitude earthquake, startling millions of people across hundreds of miles in multiple states. The U.S. Geological Survey says its epicenter originated near Lebanon, New Jersey. That's about 50 miles from New York City. And hours later, a 4.0 magnitude aftershock hit the town near the epicenter in Gladstone, New Jersey, and both major events had the Big Apple all shook up.
And that's Fox's Chanley Painter reporting. The body of a third victim of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore has now been recovered.
Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott revealing Unified Command dive teams recovered the body of Maynor Yasir Suazo Sandoval. Maryland State Police, the FBI, and reps from the governor's office met with and notified the 38-year-old construction worker's family. Scott adding, "I am grateful for the first responders who have maintained focus on recovering the remaining victims." Officials say 8 people fell from the collapsing bridge after a cargo ship crashed into it. 2 were rescued, 3 bodies have been recovered, and 3 victims remain missing. Colonel Roland Butler Jr. of the Maryland Department of State Police saying in a statement, "I can promise you we are fully committed to finding closure for each of these families." Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
The U.S. and China agreeing to talk more in the future about how to grow both economies.
I think the Chinese realize how concerned we are about the implications of their industrial strategy.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen today, after 2 days of discussions with Chinese officials, both sides planning to create economic groups dedicated to growth in both countries. America's listening to Fox News.
From the Fox News Podcast Network.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast.
And I had nothing to do with her disappearance, but people still accuse me of it.
I sit down with the people who lived the nightmares.
I was in shock. I was just devastated.
The investigators who tirelessly worked on the case.
I feel for their families, and I really hope that they can catch this guy.
Bringing you closer to the story than you ever thought possible.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Get all of your favorite Fox News podcasts commercial-free on Apple Podcasts with Fox News Podcasts Plus. From Dana Perino, Kennedy, Ben Domenech, The Duffys, and many more. Subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses, additions, cabinetry, floor coverings, and garages. Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company for all your building needs, paints, building materials, fencing. Give them a call at 507-275-3359. That's area code 507-275-3359. For all your building needs, it's Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company, located downtown Hendricks, Minnesota.
Here's your Q92 country weather for western Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. A wind advisory begins at 10 a.m. today. A red flag warning begins at 1 p.m. this afternoon. Daytime highs approaching 62 today. Under mainly sunny skies, winds out of the southeast, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Rain showers likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 39. Cloudy skies expected. Rain showers likely tomorrow. Highs level off around 47. Cloudy skies expected. Highs around 50 Monday with a chance of rain showers. 60 sunshine mixed with cloud day. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Crombley on Q92 Country. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
News and weather has been brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, Hendricks, Minnesota.
Let's take a look at some things happening around the area this weekend. There will be an open house party celebrating Bernard Vonderhaar's 90th birthday from 2 to 4 this afternoon over at the Madison VFW. No gifts, please. Your presence is your gift. Just come on over. Looney Lutherans will be giving a performance 7 o'clock tonight in Memorial Auditorium in Dawson, put on by the Dawson Boyd Arts Association. At the door, $20 for adults, $5 for students. On Sunday, Ladies' Salad Supper and Program at the Antelope Hills Christian Church of Rural Canby. beginning with registration at 5, no pre-registration needed. 5:30 p.m. supper, 6:30 the program and worship band begins. Guest speaker, Dr. Shelley Morrison, MD, OBGYN. This is a free will donation event. Sunday Catholic United Financial welcomes everyone to Jackpot Bingo at St. Leo Catholic Church. Lunch begins at noon, warm-up games at 12:30, jackpot games at 1:30. There'll be $200 and $300 jackpots, $18, $50 games. The cost is a donation of $15 to play. That event in the basement, which is handicap accessible, matching grant from Catholic United Financial. Proceeds will go to St. Peter's Catholic School and the St. Leo Parish.
It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. Once again, a reminder, in the spring we start the Coaches Show at 8:30, so we had a great interview with Kip Stender and a gal that's going to be out here in Madison in a couple weeks, and you can hear that on the podcast, but we'll talk about it next week as well. So it was a great interview about a blind lady, and she's been an athlete and spoke at many different places, Paul, right?
Yeah, so. She has spoken at the United Nations. Wow. She spoke in front of the U.S. Congress, and she's a motivational speaker. She's been to 3M, IBM, all over the place.
Yeah, and she runs marathons. She's
blind.
Yeah, and she's blind ever since 2 years old. She could maybe faintly see something before that, but that since 2 years old, so she knows nothing about seeing, but she has really had quite a life for herself.
Yeah. So mark that on your calendar. She'll be here in Madison Monday, April 15th at the Madison VFW. It's a fundraiser for the Loughborough Girls Golf Team. There's a steak supper. Start serving at 6 o'clock. You get a steak, baked potato salad, garlic bread, and then their special guest speaker is Dr. Yvonne Mascara-Schmidt, who you just heard here on the Q92 Coach's Show. There is a $20 cost to that, or a free will donation. So that's Monday, April 15th at the Madison VFW.
We'll highlight that again next Saturday morning on the Coach's Show. Well, with no activities to talk about this week, we're filling in some things between seasons, and we'll have a full schedule of events, weather permitting, next week, and I'll go through that entire next week's schedule at the end of the Coaches Show. But we've got something coming up here that you and
Mitchell
did, and then Bart Hill will be in the studio later on this morning as well.
That's right. Mitchell Silty, intern here at Q92. He's been working here since January, and I think he has done the end of April here, so with his internship. And it's been a real pleasure working with Mitchell, fine young gentleman, and loves working here, I think.
He does, and he's done a great job.
He has. So we do. We created a podcast. It's called Two Guys Weigh In. Maynard came up with that name. So Two Guys Weigh In podcast, and we're going to play that now because we had a great discussion on sports movies. I couldn't believe how many there's been over the years. A lot of great ones. And so we'll hear from that. We'll hear about that here after messages from our sponsors.
Okay. We'll take this break, and we'll be back with that interview and podcast after this.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher, all deli meats and cheeses are 50% off. And don't forget, beef and hogs are available from local farmers.
Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods right downtown Dawson, Minnesota is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Two Guys Weigh In Podcast, episode number
11.
11. 11 weeks in a row, and we haven't missed yet. Mitchell.
Yeah, it's pretty good for us. I don't think we've missed an episode. Or
nope.
We might have had one out a day late or so, but I think we've got it out each week.
That's right. We did miss a day. We usually drop this episode on Wednesdays, right?
Yep, and I think we had to do one of them on a Thursday for some reason.
That's right. I remember that, right? Well, I interviewed Carrie Tolleson about a week ago, and Carrie does, of course, a very famous podcast called See Tully Run. And Carrie said, I don't know, she's done it for years. And she's mostly proud that she has not missed a week of her podcast, recording a podcast with somebody. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think we got a little ways to go before we catch up to her. But
that's right.
Doing good so far.
That's right. And enjoying every minute of it, right?
Absolutely.
All right. And our Two Guys Weigh In podcast sponsored by
PK Egan's from Canby.
And they have the great pizza. What's your favorite pizza at PK's Egan's?
I get an all-meat one. Pepperoni, sausage, bacon, Canadian bacon. Throw all of it on there.
Throw all the meat on it, huh?
Yep.
A long time ago, a friend and I said, bring all the miscellaneous. We don't care what it costs. Bring all the miscellaneous. And they did. It was like a pie. You know what ruined it?
What ruined
the
it?
The anchovies.
Yeah,
could smell the fish on it, and I didn't like it.
Mm.
But everybody thought we were nuts. But they did that for us, so it was good. PK Egan's a great place to take the family, or
yep, have a lot of family reunions there, so it's good stuff.
My wife and her girlfriends went there this past week.
Well, there you go.
All right, I'm gonna let you do the introduction. This I've been waiting to do this for the last few days, Mitchell.
Okay, so
we're gonna have some fun
on last week's episode of the Two Guys Weigh In podcast. For our get to know each other question at the very end of the episode, I asked Paul what his favorite sports movie was of all time, and so he gave mine in return, and we didn't get to spend a whole lot of time on it, but the longer after we finished filming the episode, the longer we sat and thought about it, the more movies we had pop into our minds. So for this week's episode, we have dedicated it to ranking our top 10 sports movies that we've seen in our life, and so we're going to list that, and then we'll probably have a little bit of discussion on some other movies and what each movie's about and stuff like that.
That's right. And I know the podcast is on social media sites. My favorite sports movie. I'd like to hear your favorite sports movie, so let us know what it is. But last week Mitchell caught me off guard there, and I just watched Hoosiers because it's NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fresh on my mind, and I mentioned that, and I couldn't believe I didn't mention there's so many movies I forgot.
Yeah, there's a lot of good sports movies out there once you sit down and start thinking about it.
Crazy. So, boy, we did some research this week, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
All right, Mitchell, how should we do this? I'll just turn it over to you, and we're going to go top 10, right?
Yep, we'll list our top 10s and then probably open it up to discuss each one of them.
All right, I'm going to just turn the floor over to you. Mitchell, what is your top 10 favorite sports movies?
So I'll work from 10 down to 1. Number 10 on my list, I have Coach Carter. And then at number 9, I have Rudy. Number 8, The Sandlot. 7 Cool Runnings, 6 The Greatest Game Ever Played, 5 Miracle, 4 Hoosiers, 3 Glory Road, 2 Remember the Titans, and then my favorite, personal favorite sports movie is Rocky, the original one.
With Rocky Balboa was what? Sylvester Stallone?
Sylvester Stallone, yep.
That was way before you were born.
Yeah, it's still one of the better movies out there.
All right, interesting top 10 movies there. You have any honorable mentions you want to mention?
I have Gridiron Gang as one. That was a story. It had star actor was Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and he was working at a juvenile correction facility, and he took a bunch of gang members and just kind of juveniles from the facility, and he turned them into a football team and brought them together and helped them change their ways from the gangs and really built them up. And so that was a good one.
What was the name of that?
Gridiron Game.
Gridiron Game, okay.
And then I have When the Game Stands Tall. That was the
Never heard of that one.
That was the story about the De La Salle High School. I forget where they're from, but it was a De La Salle High School, and they had a win streak of 151 games in a row. And then it's the story of one of the players that I believe graduated gets shot before he goes to go to college.
Okay.
And then the team loses its first two games, and then they have to get back together as a team and finish out the season, and they ended up winning, I think, the rest of their games that season in the movie.
Okay.
So, and then another one I have is Draft Day. That has Kevin Costner in it, and he plays the general manager for the Cleveland Browns, I believe. And it's just a story about the lead up to the draft, and then on the draft, how that goes down and stuff like that. And then I have The Blind Side, which has kind of fallen off a little bit because of the news that came out with Michael Orr saying that the movie isn't accurate about how it really went down mm-hmm. with him growing up. So that one kind of slipped a little bit. And then this last movie, I'm going to mention because my college roommate was a big fan of it. And so he showed it to me. And so I figured I'd shout him out and get this movie on.
What's
there.
What's that?
The movie's called Ed, and it's about a baseball, a monkey that plays baseball.
Oh, for Christ. Are you serious?
Yep. So I figured I'd throw that out there for him.
Did he ever play professional baseball?
Oh, what a...
Ed. The movie's Ed. I'm going to be looking this up.
It's, I think it's with like a AAA team or something. It's a comedy. It's not supposed to be a thing,
okay.
But it's
a monkey that
plays baseball.
What kind of people do you room with at Wichita State?
he's a good friend of mine, okay. So I figured I'd throw it out there for him.
All right, awesome. Well, let's start with your top 10.
Okay.
What's your 10th movie again?
Coach Carter.
Okay, and refresh my memory on that one.
That is the one with Samuel L. Jackson. And he becomes the head high school basketball coach for a group of boys, and it's kind of at a inner city high school. There's a lot of gang violence that happens in the movie. I shouldn't say a lot, but there was some instances with some players in there, and the players struggle academically. And during the movie, the team does pretty well, but their GPAs aren't overly high.
Okay.
And so he locks up the gym, and he cancels all of their basketball games until they all get their GPAs up to a certain point.
Nice.
So that was a
good movie.
Yep.
Number 9 for you?
Number 9 was Rudy, and that's about the Notre Dame football player.
Mitchell.
What?
That's way too low.
Too low?
Okay.
I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm gonna tell you right now, that's my number one movie.
Number one is Rudy?
And you got him 9.
Yeah.
All right, why?
I like it. It's about football. I'm not a big Notre Dame person, but, you know, I like it. Shows Rudy's experience from going to... Because he couldn't, I think he had to go like to a community college, right?
Get his grades up.
Yep, his grades up before, and then he tried out, and then was it their last game of the season?
Yep, they let him on the field. Yep.
The whole team rallies behind him and advocates for him to play, and then he gets out on the field and gets a sack. And so that was I think they played Georgia Tech, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yep, but okay, I'll talk about that when it's my turn.
Yep, and then what was it? 8?
8.
The Sandlot, and that's... that's more of a kids' movie about neighborhood kids get together and they play baseball, and there's a.
I was surprised when you were telling our office manager, our office ladies here, mm-hmm. Sandlot, they both laughed and they thought that was awesome. They loved it.
It's a good movie. I like it a lot.
What's it about again?
It's the group of neighborhood kids that they play baseball together. This new kid moves to the neighborhood, and they bring him in, and they teach him how to play baseball because he's never played before.
Okay.
And they play baseball a lot together, and then there's a story about a dog that's supposed to terrorize the neighborhood, and so they hit the ball over the fence, and they got to try and get it back from the dog. And at the end, they go on a giant chase with the dog chasing after one of the kids and who has the ball. And then they find out the dog isn't giant mythical being that they thought of in their heads, you know. And so then that's good. And it's funny, the kid that moved to the neighborhood in the end of the movie, they have him as a sports announcer. And he's calling a baseball game for another one of the kids because he made it to the pros.
Oh, nice.
So that was
I've seen that movie, but a long, long time ago. Hard to remember that one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then number 7, I have Cool Runnings. That's about the Jamaican bobsled team. I don't remember what years it was, but...
I remember that movie.
Yep, it had John Candy in it.
That's a true story.
Yep, that's based off a true story. Yep. And then at number 6, I have Greatest Game Ever Played. It's about the 1913 U.S. Open. Francis we met was an amateur golfer.
You remember his name even?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He was
He wasn't very old, was he?
Nope, I don't think so. Yep. It was a couple of years out of high school, maybe. But he was an amateur, and he defeated Harry Vardon and I think it was Ted Ray in a playoff to win the U.S. Open as amateur.
Yep.
And Harry Vardon at the time was like his generation's Tiger Woods, where he was winning everything.
Wasn't he from Britain or something like that?
Yep, he was from across the sea.
Yep.
So.
Or Ireland or something like that, yep. Good movie.
Yep,
okay.
That's a good one. And then Miracle, it's a sports hockey team that defeated the Russians back when the Russians were winning everything.
Yeah, Herb Brooks.
And the team of U.S. hockey players was made up of college and non-pros. I think the following year after that, the following Olympics after that, they started to allow professionals in.
Yep.
But this time, this was the last time that they allowed or had to do amateur hockey
players?
Something
like that, yeah.
And so that one. Then I have Hoosiers at number, it's just about a small town high school basketball team from Indiana. They go on to make the state tournament and end up beating a state powerhouse team, and so it's just a good story. Glory Road was about the University of Texas El Paso Miners. During the movie time period, I think they were called Texas Western,
mm-hmm.
and now they're UTEP, UTEP, so for Texas El Paso, and they're the Miners. And it's about Don Haskins and that school's NCAA tournament run. They weren't the first school to have African American players, but it was kind of the first school that really used a lot of them or played a bunch of them.
Yep.
And so in the championship game, he plays only the African American kids, and they go on to win the tournament or win the championship. And it's a good story for that. And then number 2, Remember the Titans. That's a football team in Virginia.
Yep.
And that, again, another movie.
I've seen that many, many times.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It is.
Denzel Washington is the football coach. And the team has to get over their race issues and look past that and come together as a team. And they go undefeated and win the state championship. And then
one of them dies in a car crash.
No, he doesn't die. No, he doesn't. He gets in a car accident after they win the game to go to state.
Okay.
And then he gets hit in a car and he's paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay.
And so I think he played linebacker for him. Mm-hmm. And then that one's a really good movie. I really like that one. And then my all-time favorite movie for me personally is Rocky, the original with Sylvester Stallone.
Wow.
It's a boxer. About a boxer in Philadelphia, and he does kind of a no-name boxer, and he gets a shot to fight the world heavyweight champion, who is played by Carl Weathers.
Yep.
I believe he passed away not too long ago.
Yep.
And so, it's a good story. He goes the distance with him, and he loses in the in a draw.
Yep.
And then they have a rematch in the second one. I won't say how that one goes, but you should know how it goes.
How many? Yeah, because my age. That surprises me that your choice of number one movie there, Mitchell. Rocky.
Yep.
How many Rocky movies were there? There's quite a few.
Too many. Yeah. They should have
stopped.
After the fourth one, I think it really went downhill after that.
Okay.
I didn't watch Creed, but I feel like those might not have been too bad. But,
yeah. Oh, good movies there.
Mm-hmm.
Good movies. All right, you want to hear mine?
Yep.
All right, here we go. This ought to be interesting. I'm going to go through them fast.
Yep.
We'll talk about them afterwards, too. Number 10 on my list, The Longest Yard, the original one with Burt Reynolds. That was a long time ago. Early 70s, I think, about a prison team taking on the regular pro team, town team or whatever. Really good. Number 9, Ali, about Muhammad Ali, Will Smith, probably one of the best acting jobs I've ever seen. That's number 9. Number 8 is, you had it too, The Greatest Game Ever Played, about the 1913 U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
What was the guy's name again?
Francis Ouimet.
Yep. I love how the story with him, how he used to caddy, and then his mom and dad were kind of against it or something like that.
Yeah, his dad was against it, but his mom supported him.
Oh, there you go. Yep. It was a pretty cool movie. Love them old golf clubs they used to wear.
Yep,
used the wooden ones.
Interesting to see how golf clubs have evolved, and even the golf ball has evolved since then.
All right, continuing my top 10. Number 7, and you didn't mention this at all, League of Their Own with Tom Hanks. I love them. There's no crying in baseball.
Yeah, I've seen it. That's about when women played baseball during World War II.
Yep, two. Yep. Professional professional women's league is actually a professional women's league. And kind of cool. Love that movie. There's no crying in baseball. Number 6, this is a heart makes you cry. We Are Marshall, about the University of Marshall football team. Mostly all the team and the staff were killed in a tragic airplane accident. Tell the story about that. Of course, Marshall is where Randy Moss went to school and graduated.
Yep.
So I love that movie. All right, here's my top 5, Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, I, Tanya.
I don't think I've seen
Tanya Harding and the Nancy Kerrigan episode.
I watched the 30 for 30 on it, but I didn't watch the movie.
That's a movie. Yeah, they did a 30-30. Yes,
that's different from the movie, right?
That's an amazing movie. A good acting. It's an unbelievable story, actually. And I remember when it happened, when it actually happened, taking a knee out. So that's a good movie. Number 4. And I know a lot of people are going to complain because I talk about this movie all the time, and I think probably it should be number 1, but I'm going to Field of Dreams, Costner.
One I haven't gotten around to seeing yet. I mentioned this real quick. My list, I'm assuming this is your list too, but our lists are based off of movies that we've seen, not just in total for movies.
Yep,
so
good
this
point.
Is movies that we have seen.
Yeah, we have seen. And I've seen The Field of Dreams a lot.
I should probably
never gets old.
I should probably get around to watching that movie.
My favorite part is going to the Field of Dreams movie set site where they film the movie in Dyerville, Iowa. Actually, my cousin just lives a few miles from there, so when we go to family events, I always swing on over to the Field of Dreams. It's changed a lot, though.
Major League Baseball, they play a game every year,
they started doing that, and I don't like that. Leave it alone.
Really?
Yeah, leave it alone. Commercializing it. I went there when it was, I went to a Minnesota Gopher at Iowa football game, my oldest son and I, and we traveled from Iowa City to a long, long time ago, and it's just awesome. Take your glove with, play catch on the field, walk in the corn, walk out of the corn. I love Field of Dreams. All right, number 3, Miracle. I don't know if they call it Miracle or Miracle on Ice or something like that. 1980 Olympic hockey team with Herb Brooks. Great movie. I actually saw the 1980 Olympic hockey team play the week before they went out to Lake Placid. They played at the old Mets Center where the Mall of America is right now. They did play a Russian team, and we had great seats for that, and that was fun. That was 1980. Number 2, you mentioned this, one of your top movies, Hoosiers.
Yep.
It's got to be a top sports movie for everybody.
I think the actor's name is Gene Hackman.
Yep, Gene Hackman. Yep.
Hackman,
yeah. Why do you think that's so popular?
Well, I think it's relatable. I mean, I think it's something that you see. It's got a good story behind it.
The underdog.
Yep, the underdog. Everyone loves underdog stories.
Yeah.
The story of the coach. He, I believe he hit a player at his previous when he was previous coaching stop. And so he got there and he got a second chance at it and made the most of it.
All right. And my number 1 movie of all time, Rudy. What are you smiling for?
Well, I would not say it's a good movie. I just, it's weird. I just, I don't know. I don't really think, although I suppose people probably think Rocky isn't a number one either, but I just, Rudy just doesn't seem like a number one movie.
Well, it's
definitely, I think you could put it top five for sure.
The way Sean Astin did a tremendous job, you know, it's a true story, you mm-hmm. know, and I love true stories. And I love Notre Dame, and just like they did a lot of family things there. I related to some of that stuff, and it's just a great movie. Mm-hmm. So that's my number one movie. Here's some honorable mentions that I got to mention. Return of the Titans?
Remember the Titans.
Remembers.
close enough, close enough.
Remember the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
How about Brian's Song? Do you know that one?
I don't know that one.
Okay, that's Brian Piccolo and Gail Sayers of the Chicago Bears. It's about their relationship. Brian Piccolo got cancer while he was a Chicago Bear. And great movie, early 70s or whatever, Brian's Song. And then Greater. I just saw this movie. It didn't just come out, but it's called Greater. Brandon Burlesworth wanted to always play for the backs college football team. He never really got recruited, but he walked on and became a starter and all you know, got a mm-hmm. bunch of awards, got drafted by the Colts, and then he was tragically killed in a car accident. So it's about his life, and it was a pretty good movie, Greater. I think I touched them all there. Battle of the Sexes, Emma Stone was in that one. It's about Billie Jean King and the played the
tennis, right?
Yeah, tennis. Battle of the Sexes. Can't remember the guy's name now. Older guy that Billie Jean King played back in the day. That was a good movie. And don't want to forget American Underdog, the story of Kurt Warner when he led the Rams to the Super Bowl and actually played for Northern Iowa back in the day. That was a good one. And then I scratched off The Blind Side. Mm. Now, everybody likes The Blind Side movie. But what's happened in the past year or two, you know, Michael Orr came out. I don't know if he even sued his family, but
I think there was at one
yeah,
point
there's
that
a,
happened.
It yep. got real ugly. And that really ruined the movie for me. I mean, you know, it's supposed to be a true story about that, Michael Orr growing up. And now Michael Orr saying that some of that's not true. And it just kind of ruined the movie for me. So I'm scratching that one, The Blind Side. Yep. How do we do? What do you think? Anything else to add?
I'll ask you this question. Do you like the sports movies more when they're based off a true story, or do you like movies that are kind of more make-believe? Or?
Good question. No, I want true stories, and I want the truth.
Yep, I feel the same way. I like the movies that are based off a true story.
Okay. Yeah, on my Facebook page, some people comment. Mm-hmm. I just want to mention their... Here's my question for you.
Yep.
Do you think Caddyshack's a sports movie?
It kind of is because
Caddyshack
it's about golf. So let's say yeah.
Dodgeball. Okay, here's a movie somebody posted. The Replacements. I'm not sure I know about that.
No, I don't know about that
about
one either.
When the NFL went on strike and the scabs came in. Do you remember that?
I do not.
That might be what it's about. Ever hear of The Final Countdown?
Nope.
Me neither. Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, that's
is that
another,
a sports movie?
That's another one about golf.
Okay.
Adam Sandler?
Yeah, Adam Sandler. I don't know if I want to call them sports movies, though.
Why not?
Caddyshack. Well, they're comedy, not true. It's about a sport, I guess. So I just want to mention to everybody, you know, let us know what your favorite sports movie is, and we'll talk about it on the next podcast about that.
Yep. Well,
anything
gladly
you want to
appreciate
add?
The feedback.
Okay, what was your number one movie again?
My number one movie was Rocky.
Rocky, and mine was Rudy.
Yep.
Both started with R. There you
yeah,
go.
There you go.
All right. Good podcast. Maybe we should pick a subject and just talk about that every once in a while like that. Mitchell, we got a special Two Guys Weigh In podcast coming up, don't we?
Yep, I think April 10th we'll be doing our podcast episode from PK Egan's, and we'll be previewing the Vikings draft, as I think the draft comes up in a week or two after that episode airs. So we'll sit down and do a podcast episode on the Vikings draft from PK's. And
that's right, and we're going to have our very first guest on our podcast. We've never had a guest before, and it's Brian McKean from Camby, and Brian's going to join us on the podcast because he's an expert. Everything Minnesota Viking, he's an expert. So I can't wait to hear Brian take on the draft.
Yep, we'll have to do our homework and make sure we're prepared for that one.
Oh, yeah. Brian has some strong feelings about Minnesota Vikings, so that'll be a good one. All right, thanks a lot, Mitchell.
Yep, thank you, Paul. And this has been the Two Guys Weigh In podcast, episode number 11, sponsored by PK Egan's.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash.
This week at the Country Butcher, all deli meats and cheeses are 50% off. And don't forget, beef and hogs are available from local farmers. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
On Saturday, happy birthday to Becky Overlander over in Dawson, Jared Olson, Denny Hellstrom, Jill Christie, Logan Stamp, Jason Kuzman, John Motz. Happy birthday on Saturday to Chad Bartunek, Taden Clark, and happy anniversary on the 6th to Steve and Lisa Haas and Keith and Artis Christensen. And on Sunday the 7th, happy birthday to Dwayne Helgen, Dale T. Johnson, Dave Fernholz, Dean Herzberg, Peggy Crosby, Tom Zeiser, Nathan Carter, Brandon Hansen, and a happy anniversary and Phil Werpy on Sunday. Hope you all have a great day and a great weekend.
Back here at the station on the Culture Show, we're going to wrap things up here. Once again, remember in the spring, the Culture Show starts at 8:30, normally with the golf coaches, Kip Stender and Barry Besson, and then we'll do the other five sports after the 9 o'clock hour. But we're going to finish things up because no activities this past week. They were scheduled but weren't able to play. But we've got a full slate of the events that we'll talk about coming up in the week to come. But Bart Hill's in the studio, and we're going to be talking baseball. And I mentioned it to Bart yesterday that maybe we can fill out the rest of the Culture Show talking baseball. And he says, gosh, anytime I get a chance to talk baseball, that – put me on, so yeah.
I'm kind of a shy guy.
Yeah. So you've been around wearing lots of hats here with the team, and your most recent hat, you're the president of the baseball nine-member baseball board here in Madison, and you and Matt Munson have really taken on a big job here of rebuilding that field at Madison Memorial Field, Bart.
Yeah, and you know, for me, I'm retired, so I have a little extra time. I feel bad for Matt because we get a lot of phone calls and text messages and emails about products and, you know, upgrades and timelines and those things for all the projects that are going on at the baseball field. So it's a lot of work, people don't see, and it gets to be frustrating at times. But, you know, we're getting closer and closer, and we're down that final stretch now.
Yeah, and we've had a great fall and a great winter to make progress on that. You can drive by the field and weekly see improvements on it. So a great example was yesterday. you and Chad Kranz and myself were down there for a number of hours, and then the team came to practice, and we're putting up that yellow tube in the outfield, and that's a big task.
Yeah, there's just a lot of little things that had to be done that, you know, you don't necessarily have to hire out, but, you know, the board, baseball board, can do those things. And, of course, we were down there joke with Chad, you know, you and I aren't getting any younger, Dick, and we've had our health issues, and I told Chad, I feel bad for you. You're working like with one combined guy with Dick and I, and maybe not even one.
Oh, I'm sure he's stiff and sore this morning, but we survive, and we got some work done, and they're down there again as we speak, I think.
Yeah, we'll be doing there. Hopefully get some things done, but I don't imagine we'll be down there too long with the wind, but... Yeah. So I just want to kind of run through a timeline,
sure,
too, because I just started looking through my pictures. I've been documenting everything from the, you know, from the storm damage to all the way up to this last week. And it's my hope that Gavin Fernholz, he loves to do those production things. He works with a lot of weddings and does a lot of videotaping, videography for different events and stuff. And I reached out to him, and he is willing to put together, you know, a montage of music and all these pictures. And I said, I have a lot of pictures, but, you know, we're coming up on the 2-year anniversary of the derecho that kind of wiped out a lot of things in our area. And there are still quite a few houses and businesses that are not finished with their construction. And, of course, the ballpark took a major hit on that as well. But I was just going back, you know, so that was 2 years ago in May. And August of last year, we finally got work done doing the demolition. And Heinrich Excavating went down, bulldozed everything, you know. And that was only possible because we sat down with Colby Judovsky of his engineering firm, and he drew up some plans, and, you know, then it started the fundraising process, and we went around to a lot of different businesses and individuals, and we just had a great deal of success with that. So in August, they tore down everything, and then all of a sudden, you know, the end of August, Kruitz Concrete went down there, started pouring the footings for the new grandstand and the backstop, and then Jordan Wolschlager and his concrete company, they poured, you know, the patio cement down there. And then, of course, we started... Or not we, the Kruitz group started, you know, putting up the bricks layer by layer to make that grandstand and backstop wall. It's just amazing to see. And then we rolls around September, and they're still working on it, and the weather was great. And September 22nd, we had the city, when their giant crane had installed the poles for the backstop netting. Those poles, there's four of them, weigh 2,000 pounds each. Wow. And they have to have, I think, like a 6 or 7 foot footing in there, and they have these giant 3 foot bolts that are cemented in there. And of course, then the pole itself has to sit exactly on top of those bolts, otherwise you have to do it all over again. And I give everyone credit, because I think one pole was off by about an eighth of an inch, and they could maneuver it and get it on there, and the other three just slid right on. But, you know, without groups like that, like the city, you know, the line department bringing in their, you know, big cranes, you know, we'd have to hire out. We couldn't do those things. So that was awesome. And then we roll around to November, and all of a sudden they start working on the press box, which, you know, Steve Dolly Construction, they didn't think they were even going to get to it until the spring, because he was still, you know, overwhelmed with all the construction that he'd do from the storm itself, and then just his regular projects. But the weather was so nice, so they started putting up the press box walls, and that was awesome. And then November 20th, we actually put up the net once the poles were all dry. We had to wait so long, and we did a sample test of putting up that giant net, and it worked. It did not fall down, so we left it up for 3 days, took it down, and stored that over the winter. And then, of course, over the winter, you know, little things were done here and there. It was open, but, you know, we roll around now. We get to March, and then Mike Tunn is building a giant project, the big steps on the backside made out of really heavy metal, and you know, that's got to get sent off to get powder coated, and hopefully that'll be up here in the next 10 days. And then, of course, now the you got Polatsky's Plumbing, Dave's Plumbing coming down there. Dolly's are still. Greg Thole was doing electricity work, and then Matt Fernholz, a crap ton of electrical work down there, putting up all the wiring and lights and stuff like that is just amazing. And, you know, that took us up to this week, where March or April 4th, the high school baseball team was practicing down there. And so we're getting darn close to game time, which is the first game is April 18th at home.
Yeah, that's right. And speaking of a way to get up to the – I haven't even been in the announcer's booth yet. I didn't want to climb the ladder yet, but – you're going to have stairs coming from two directions.
Correct.
coming up to the top, and there will be a platform.
Correct.
Right by the door going into the concession stand, and then that platform, a person can go to the right or to the left to get into a seating area to the right or east or west of the press box.
Yeah, and we went down there and looked at Madison Welding. That is a mammoth structure. It'll come in pieces, and it's got to be all put together, and so it'll be awesome. So, you know, and I forgot to mention, too, Randy Rezel had to put up new gates because we had, you know, got rid of the old walk-through gates when we did the new backstop. But it's just amazing, you know, and one of the things that we wanted to do is keep it as local as possible, and obviously being a radio station, and you know the importance of local advertising, local businesses. Without that, you know, you wouldn't be in business, and we certainly wouldn't have got this project done without all the local people. But we, like we mentioned, Croats Concrete did the cement and block work along with Jordan Wolschlager for the patio thing. Fowell Electric with Greg and Matt Fernald's doing electrical work down there. We bought most of our products down at Lean Lumber. We have Dolly Construction working down there. Dave's Plumbing working down there. We got Madison Welding, like I mentioned, with Mike Tun doing the stairs. City of Madison has done way more than they ever thought they would have to do. You know, I talked to the city crew, Todd Earp, Zach Larson, those guys almost daily, and when I call, I'm sure they're going like, what the heck does that baseball not want now? But they've been super working with us and doing a lot of little things, you know, and you just, you know, once it's all done, it's going to be a spectacle. It's going to be awesome, and it's just really going to be a source of community pride just because of all the people that have helped and had a hand in it.
Well, anybody that went into the old grandstand, I mean, that was a state of the art back in the
1950.
Late 40s and early 50s.
Yeah.
And that was there when both you and myself came, and we did what we could, you know, with that. But on the west end of the lower part of the grandstand is the women's bathroom, and that's a state of the art it's going to be. And on the east end is the men's bathroom, and then in the middle is a concession stand, and that's going to be a great thing for the fans to come into, too, walk into. So,
yeah.
And I've always said as part of the Madison Baseball Board as well our community has certainly gone to bat for us over the years.
They have. And, you know, the nice thing, you know, nobody wants a storm, but the great thing about this is we were talking about all these things to do anyways on a 5-year plan, so that just got expedited once we knew that. I mean, we couldn't play baseball down there for 3 months after that storm, and we really lost a lot of revenue and a lot of home games, and so we know the importance of it. But because we're building new, then you have to follow all the state codes, so then we have handicap accessible bathrooms, and, you know, the concession stand has got all the, you know, bells and whistles that you need for a new facility like that. Be able to have live stream games down there, that's going to be awesome. So in connection with the city and their IT person, we're going to get that hooked up, and not sure when we'll get that going. Hopefully by the time before spring baseball is done or earlier when it starts, and that'll be awesome. So just like the, you know, watching games streamed out at the high school, we'll have that capability in Madison as well, watching baseball games spring and summer. So it's really going to be great once it's all completed.
So Paul, anything?
That's great. The streaming, Milroy does some great streaming baseball.
Yeah, they do a fantastic. We hope to get to that point sometime. They have 3 full-time cameras, and they got
a giant
computer system going on. So we'll start out with baby steps and work our way up like everything else.
There's enough room up there for me and you and Dick to broadcast in.
Julie already bought me a futon so I can take a nap up there. So there's plenty of room up there. So
speaking of Julie, I know she did a lot of planting and flowering.
Yeah.
She
did, and she's got ideas. And, oh, speaking of that, so Brittany Agnesmo, you know, if you know her around town, she is a go-getter. So she asked me if we'd like some baseball art down at the ballpark, and I said, sure, what do you have in mind? And she goes, well, you know, I saw this online, but this is a really cool thing that she's going to have made. The Bonks in Appleton are actually welding it. It's 3 round propane tanks that will look like baseballs, and then they'll be lighted up in red, white, and blue, and it'll be an art structure. It's really
Where are you going to put that?
It'll be be on one of the plaza sides, probably on the first base side, and they'll have their own little landscaping area and stuff like that. So it's just amazing. She's got some fantastic ideas, and when she approached us, we're going like, I wonder what she's going to do, but this is going to be really neat.
Well, all this started actually, I think, in 1999 when you were coaching. We had a night game for the VFW, and went to turn on the lights, and it looked like the 4th of July. One light tower started exploding, and another one exploded. And so we spent, probably 10 years, 15 years of updating the field. Then we did the lights twice. We had a lighting engineer who lived in Madison that updated those lights. And then now after tearing those old light standards, all of them down and replacing, we really have a state-of-the-art lighting facility.
Yeah. I just want to mention real quick, we had some pretty big donors. We're not going to go through the whole list. We'll try to do that throughout the spring and summer. But, our biggest donors really stepped up. Fernholz Crop Insurance, Pioneer Seed, Ziegler Cat, Madison Bottling, and then Tim and Margot Roth and Minnesota Twins. I mean, they were all over $15,000 of donations that came to us. So you put that chunk together right away. Our goal is to hopefully raise $200,000 and maybe borrow some money, and we got well over $300,000. But, like with any other construction project, you're always going to have hidden costs and expenses that you don't really plan on. So, we will always take extra money. If you want to donate, you can contact any of the board members or just send me a check as well.
Who are those board members?
Okay. Well, Bart Hill is the current president. I think Matt Munson is the vice president, probably the treasurer. He handles the money, and that's his occupation. Darby Biergon, Chad Kranz, Matt Fernholz, Brian Clark, Tony Smith, Stephen Enger, and myself. So contact any one of us, and certainly as a team, it's a 9-person board, and there's 9 baseball players on a baseball team.
Go.
So we get together and have a meeting of the minds, so to speak, and argue back and forth and come up with the best solution on any project that we're putting together.
Dick, Bart, if people are listening and they want to donate to the Madison baseball field or the fund, how can they do that?
You can get us a check. You can mail it to any of us or stop off and drop it off with Matt Munson at Old National Bank and just Madison Baseball Association. Write it out too. And, we take carts full of grain or whatever you want to do. So we'll take any kind of value of monetary value that you want to give us.
All right.
And we will, this up and coming season, be able to probably host some post-season tournaments. And I know that Merchant Night or whatever we
called it. Oh, that was great.
That was a great thing, and that will be an annual event. And
that was so much fun last year.
Yeah, it certainly was. So
before we go, though, the two guys sitting to my left here, if you're listening, have put more hours in on the field. And they're talking about the grandstand and the lights and stuff, but the field is one of the best fields around, and it's because of you two right here. How many hours, combined hours, how many hours, Dick? When did you start working on the field?
Well, when 70s? I came in 1972.
72? So, and you put many, many hours on that field.
Oh, yeah.
And Bart, you started?
I came in the fall of 89 and started dabbling around with Dick. And then, the more you see, the more there is to do. And so it's kind of my lifetime passion now, I guess.
Pet peeve of both of us, we'd be
sunflower seeds?
We'd be down there on our hands and knees sometimes pulling weeds out of the infield, the agri line. People drive by and honk the horn. There's Dick Newman, there's Bart, but to have them come and drive in and help us, that doesn't always happen. I think it's happened to Bart a few more times than it did to me. But
it's an amazing looking field, one of the best around, that's
well,
for sure.
Well, all the things that this community has done, that's one thing, and we hope it continues, and it'll certainly bring more people to town to watch a ball game. Everybody prospers from that, so all the businesses and everybody else. So with that, we'll take this break and then come back and look at the schedule for La Caparo in the up and coming week after this.
This is Mitchell Silty with Q92 Sports. Join us Monday afternoon as Q92 Radio broadcasts the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks baseball home opener versus the Canby Lancers from Nelson Field in Dawson. First pitch is at 4:30 with Paul Ramo and myself on the call. That's the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks versus the Canby Lancers in Dawson Boyd's baseball home opener this Monday at 4:30 here on Q92 Radio.
Whirlpool washers and dryers offer laundry solutions for every home. Washer and dryer innovations offer flexible ways to wash clothes and help you keep up with your laundry. Learn all about them at Odin and Zimmelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center in Madison. Some models allow you to choose how you wash and the amount of agitation with the 2-in-1 removable agitator and soil level selection. Whirlpool washers and dryers come in classic white, timeless gray, stylish matte black, and more finishes. You'll find just the right laundry pair for your home. Don't take my word for it. See for yourself at Odin and Zimmelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center, downtown Madison, Minnesota. See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, showing Friday, April 5th through Monday, April 8th. In Theater 1, it's Cabrini, rated PG-13. That's Cabrini, moved to Theater 1. In Theater 2, held over Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, rated PG-13. That's Ghostbusters in Theater number 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand. And a reminder to come on over to the Madison VFW for their Steak Fry Tuesday, April 9th. Proceeds will be going to the Grand Theater's projector replacement project. So enjoy a steak, support the cause. That's on Tuesday, April 9th at the Madison VFW with assistance from United Prairie Bank in Madison.
All right, back here at the radio station. Here's what the schedule looks like for La Caparo Athletics for the up-and-coming week, of course, weather permitting. Monday, the softball team will have with a game against Russell Tyler Ruthton starting at 4:30 with the JV team to follow somewhere around that 6 o'clock time. Tuesday, boys or girls golf invitational at Wilmer Eagle Creek golf course, track for the boys and the girls at Morris area starting at 4 o'clock. And boys tennis at 4:30 at McRae. And, of course, tennis will have all away events. So 4:30 for the boys tennis at McRae on Tuesday. Going to Thursday, track team multiple schools at Lakeview for both the boys and the girls, starting at 3:30. At 4:30, the baseball team will be on the road at Central Minnesota Christian at 4:30 with the JV game to follow. Golf for girls at Ortonville. Boys at Ortonville Golf also at 4:30. Softball junior high girls at La Caparo Valley against Montevideo at 4:30. Tennis will be at Montevideo at 4:30. And the JV baseball game at Minnesota Prinsburg at 6 o'clock to follow for JV baseball. That's on Thursday. Friday, track, junior high girls, multiple schools at Lakeview starting at 4 o'clock. Also on Friday, the varsity, the junior high boys also at Lakeview. 4:30 softball girls is at MCC Athletic Complex. MCC is what? Murray County Central, I believe, at 4:30 with the JV team there as well. A week from today, golf varsity at Oakdale. That's outside of Hutchinson to be determined, I believe, about 9 o'clock start. And speech, 7 through 12 at Mineola starting at 8:30. And boys varsity tennis invitational at Worthington at 9 a.m. So that wraps up a very busy week. Got time for Dick Newman sick joke of the week. This one probably would be a good one for Maynard. If you answer the phone with, "Hello, you're on the air," most telemarketers will quickly hang up. And then for me personally, the older I get, the earlier it gets late. So thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Right now it's 9:59. Great music for Haydenville, Providence, Cerro Gordo, and Black Apparel Village on KLQP FM 92.1. This is KLQP, Madison Dawson. Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.